Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Donnie D's Words of Wisdom Radio here on Blog Talk Radio, live tonight coming to you from Ketchup Not Just Coffee. That's right, Ketchup Not Just Coffee. Come on in and get some information and learn a little bit about something and come on in and talk with us. We're Ketchup Not Just Coffee at 10798 Foothill Boulevard, Suite 100 and Rancho Cucamonga. That's right, if you want to call in, it's 909-987-9862. That's 909. 987-9862. Ketchup Not Just Coffee. Hey, we're being brought to you by Ketchup Not Just Coffee tonight. We're being brought to you by Single Mother's Guide to Raising Black Boys. We're being brought to you also by Market You. That's right, Market You. Get in contact with Dr. Kathy Lewis Saunders, and she'll tell you about how to make your thing grow, your business take off. Tonight we will be talking about different subjects. How do you feel about blacks being the 16th greatest economy in the world if blacks were a separate nation, as according to the Nielsen Report? The University of California system increasingly favoring out-of-state students at the expense of residents because they pay a higher tuition. It would be interesting to know how many of those non-California students stay here after graduation. That's a good question, you know. The International Monetary Fund, IMF, called on the USA to develop a credibility plan to deal with its spending and debts over the next several years. Those are just some of the things that we'll be talking about today. But as we get out here, we're going to go and talk to some of the people that are here tonight and that are involved in the show. And let's talk to Mr. Butler here for a moment and talk to him and see what he has to say. How you doing, Mr. Butler?
Fine, sir. Fine, sir. Fine.
Okay. And what are some of the topics? I just went over some of the topics that we were going to be talking about. Would you like to go on in some more on it?
Yes. Again, I'd like to reiterate the 16th, blacks would be the 16th greatest economy in the industrialized nation if we were a separate nation, which means that I wonder, do we spend our money wisely? We certainly have the money, $1.3 trillion, and our hope maybe in the future we can spend it wisely.
Sounds good to me. I'm going to move around and, as usual, here at Ketchup Not Just Coffee and talk with some of the people that are here tonight. How you doing? My name is Franklin Donnie D.
How you doing, Franklin?
Okay, your name is?
My name is Ephraim Sargent with Real Estate Options.
Okay, and you?
Susan Sargent with Real Estate Options.
Real Estate Options is in the house tonight. We're going to have to talk to you a little later. And over here, a friend of mine, How you doing?
Hey, Donnie, I'm ready to get tonight going. I'm Kathy Sanders, or Dr. Kathy Sanders with MarketU, and we have a very interesting topic lined up for tonight. I call it a heavy topic.
Heavy topic. Heavy talking. While I have you here, right here next to me, Dr. Kathy, can you tell me something about MarketU?
Yes, MarketU helps build your image in the marketplace. We sort of mirror what you do online. And what our niche is, social media. Social media is here to stay. It's something that I think all businesses need to become aware of and adapt in their marketing principles.
Okay, and if anybody wants to contact you?
You can reach me at marketyou.com. That's MarketYou.com. A little spin on that. All right, MarketYou.
MarketYou. That's right. You heard it right there from Dr. Kathy. And next to me, we have my co-host, the lovely Miss Marcia Durant. Marcia Dees, how's it going?
It's going great.
And how is things going with Words of Inspiration?
Words of Inspiration are going fantastic.
All right. Well, be sure to tune in. And as I turn around, I feel I can see there's a brother sitting next to me, Heavyweight. I remember him from the last show that we had here, and it's good to see you. Your name, sir?
Robert Butler.
Robert Butler. How you doing, Mr. Butler?
I'm doing fine.
All right. I know that you will help keep this show going live tonight. Yes, I got one more person to come over here and talk to. Yes, 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 you hit for me last night. Your name?
Rena.
Rena, and how are you doing, Rena?
I'm doing fine, thank
okay.
you. Yourself?
Very good, very good. All right. I think I've hit about on everybody in here tonight. Let's get this party started. Let's talk about some serious issues here tonight. How do you feel about blacks being the 16th greatest economy in the world if we were a separate nation, according to the Nielsen report? That means that we have enough spending power, more than a lot of countries out there. A lot of countries. But do we spend our money wisely? Are we mostly consumers? You know, a lot of corporations make big money off of us. Anybody like to come in on that and tell me what they think about that?
No, we do not spend our money wisely because of the fact that there is no such thing as money.
Okay. Well, what do you think that how we can deal with that?
I think we have to educate our people to show them exactly what they're dealing with in regards to money and how money is disposable. That's the reason why most of our black athletes end up broke after a 10- or 15-year career, because money is simply disposable. If you start to study and find out that there is no such thing as money, it's just a medium of exchange that they created for U.S. citizens.
Okay, very good. That's something to think about right there. And he's right. A lot of these multi-million-dollar athletes come up broke. A lot of our entertainers, I'll never forget when, I'm an older guy, but when Isaac Hayes went bankrupt, I was like, what? You know, what are these guys doing with their, you know, are they investing? Are they putting money back into the community or back into whatever? You know, I look at Magic Johnson, and he's like maybe one of the few that I know of that is definitely putting money, that's doing something with his money. Anybody else like to, how about you, young lady? Would you like to piggyback on that one? I know you will. Your name again?
Susan Sargent.
Okay, Susan Sargent.
I agree. They're not putting the money back into the communities, which they should. Put it back into the schools.
Okay.
And back into the communities that they grew up in, instead of just, if you move away, that's fine, but go back to where you came from.
Tell you
what areas need help.
Yeah, because, you know, last time we were here, we talked about that same subject, that, and it was an opinion of mine, and some people agree with me, that when integration came in, and that was a double-edged sword, as we called it, it took a lot of people and businessmen out of the black community and spread us out. A lot of black businesses died. The Negro baseball leagues died, you know, through integration. And people thought integration was the best thing since sliced bread, but it broke a community up, you know, an opinion. Mr. Butler, would you like to come in on that?
Well, I can't add to what the young man said earlier. He's absolutely correct. The only way in which community growth will occur economically is when resources are recycled, but when they are one way, mm-hmm. that is, resources go out of the black community but not come in. That is where, that's why, that's what produces poverty.
Okay. All right, and I agree with you there. So you said that the money's going out but not coming back in. And like you say, we are a community of consumers. You know, we're not, we can be a community of builders, shakers and movers, you know, and make things happen. But, you know, I think with the advertisement, the way they have our kids looking at TV and having mama buy them a new pair of Jordans every time a new pair comes out, and a lot of the things that we really don't need, we'll spend money on a bling bling. That's a big thing. You know, do you need a bunch of gold chains and diamond earrings? You know, what do you really need? You know, do you need a big car with shiny rims? I mean, if that's what you like, yeah, but, you know, what do you really need? Think about it. So, moving right along. The University of California system increasingly favors out-of-state students at the expense of residents because they pay higher tuition. It would be interesting to know how many of those non-California students stay here after graduation, so our state benefits. You know, we have a lot of students that come to UC schools and they get the degree and then they're gone. You've got students from India, students from Africa, students from all over the world. They come here for an education, and the own kids who grew up here in the community can't go to school. You know, there was a time when, and back in the 70s, you know, I went to school and you could get your financial aid. You didn't have to really worry about paying your bills to go to school. You would take care of them, you got your degree. But nowadays, you know, you're pushed to the back of the bus. Anybody like to come in on that or disagree with me or agree with me or have their own, Mr. Sargent?
Again, I think it's, you know, an economic system that was designed mostly before any of us was born. So it's a system that's simply about wealth. And what they don't teach us is about wealth. We learn about chasing money, but we never learn about chasing paper, the real paper, which is commercial paper. So in regards to colleges and schools and everything, those situations and institutes were set up way before we even came around. And that's the same thing. It's all about wealth. It's all about keeping the, you know, the impoverished people down and letting the wealthy stay wealthy. So that's really what it's all about.
Okay, yeah, you know, they have that generational wealth. I live in Pasadena, and people talk about, yeah, there's old money out here, old money. And they will make sure that that stays old money. It doesn't move on over to the other side of town. You know, and that's a fact. Yes, ma'am.
We have to teach our kids, our children, besides going to school, what to go to school for.
Exactly.
What are they going for? They start college and don't even know what subjects to take. So we have to teach them what to learn when they go to school.
You know, and
they're just coming out with a degree.
Yeah, and you know, and I also look at, you know, I work in the school system, and a lot of parents depend on the counselor to send their kid in the right direction. That doesn't happen. You know, there was a time counselors would tell you, you know, you say, I want to be a veterinarian. No, you need to work with your hands. You need to do this. You can't be a veterinarian. And then to this day, our kids don't get the proper guidance. You know, they're called guidance counselors, but they're not guiding all the students in the right direction. So I say the parents need to stay on campus and make sure that your child is getting that proper guidance, because, you know, a lot of kids I've seen, some of them are good in football, good in basketball, and they'll get that athletic scholarship, might play for a year, get injured, and that's it. They're back at the playground, you know, or doing whatever it takes to stay alive. And sometimes whatever it takes to stay alive can be detrimental to their community. You know, and that's part of the plan, too. That is definitely part of the plan. Sister Kathy.
Well, I attended a conference last night with Dr. Peter Daniels. I believe the church is in San Bernardino. What is it? The Way Church. And he's a billionaire. And he's an advocate of education. And one of the things that he was saying, he came from welfare to being a billionaire. And he came from a place where we all know that it's been hard for minorities to come from. He's from the land down under. What is that?
Australia.
Australia. Yeah, 80 years old, been married 59 years. And he gave out lots of pearls of wisdom. Matter of fact, the conferences will be going on until Tuesday. But one of the interesting facts that when he even asked some of the participants to come up and had open mic to ask questions, he recommended reading. He said no one reads anymore. Everything is television and what somebody else said, or they're afraid. He gave several points of focus. One was to stop procrastinating, to not have fear, to work on one project at a time, not be multitasking. And I know we were talking about, education, and I think that we need to get back to the involved, you know, with our kids. Even in our own improvement, sometimes you do. You just have to go back and be educated again. And don't be afraid of your vision and your dreams, especially when someone says, oh, you can't do that. Yeah, you can do that.
Right.
You can be a business owner. You can take your visions and like we're doing tonight, this is all visionary, everything that we're doing. We're blending businesses. We're blending ideas. You drove way in from Pasadena, right? Into a local area here in the Rancho Cucamonga area. So we're all coming together and bringing our ideas together, and we do it repeatedly. Here's what he said, repeat and repeat. Do the one thing until you perfect it right. If it's education, he asked this one young man, he said, how many books have you read in this last year? He shrugged his shoulders.
Right.
He said, you don't read?
Right.
Then how can you grow?
How can you get a diploma?
How can you get a diploma? Wow, that would be a miracle. But I think it takes a village to raise a family.
And that's so true.
We do need to come back together, you know, make recommendations. Get involved. If your kids get mad, let them get mad.
Right.
That's what my father used to say. You know that word, let the door hit you where the good Lord spits you. Get on out of here.
Right.
But if we say, hey, recommend the author. This is why I'm recommending this author. This is why I'm recommending this book. Make it a family project. I think if we do that, we'll have more success in elementary school, middle school, high school, all the way to college, because it becomes a community affair and a family affair.
All right, doctor. And, you know, you hit on a point about getting mad. I run across so many parents. I wrote a book, Single Mother's Guide to Raising Black Boys. And in my book, I stress that part about how many times did you get mad at your mama, but you still loved her. So they only stay mad for a minute, you know. How many times I got in my little 57 Chevy and burnt rubber out of Pomona because I was mad because I had to wash the dishes. Stupid stuff, you know what I'm saying? But my mama, single parent, she going to work every day, making sure I have clothes on. I had dinner, but, you know, my little head was just thinking about what I wanted to do, you know. So I would be mad, you know, and it took me to get to be an adult to go back and think about that and go to my mother and apologize for all the stuff I did as a teenager. I think it was Pomona that caused it. I think it was Pomona. Pomona, yeah. But would you like to kind of say anything on that?
Well, yes. I believe the 1968 California Master Plan for Higher Education was forward-thinking. It was the right vision, not only to take California as a state into the next century, but also to the next millennia. What has happened is we've allowed short-term crisis, recession, and other downward spirals in revenue, a shift toward selfishness in the form of it became in vogue to not pay taxes, to cause the state to not be able to afford the spending that it had customarily done to support that vision. And now it has become in vogue to not pay tax. The whole idea of selfishness. We want hospitals. We want roads. We want freeways, but nobody wants to pay for them.
Right.
We want high-speed rail, but no. So reality has to come into focus. It will be necessary for us to bring about the necessary revenue to be able to maintain the vision that was first conceived in 1968, a three-tier system, community colleges, California State University system, UC system. That was the paradigm and was the most forward system in the country. And instead of us pursuing that, we have now begun to retreat from that and become myopic in our view and not forward-thinking.
Okay, okay. But, you know, also, I think, and if somebody chime in and tell me what you think on, I think that we're diverting our money to, from education into other things, you know, that, like you mentioned, high-speed rail. You know, they don't even know the full price tag of what that's going to cost from what, L.A. to Fresno? How many people go to Fresno, you know? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Now, you can always find ways to take money out of education, take money from the disabled, take money from the senior citizens. There's always money to take from them. And, you know, and there's always money to be taken out of education. Now, my theory on the education thing is, more minority students are in public education. You go to public school, you see minority students mostly. Now, you know, they have the white flight, and they're all mostly, a lot of them, where I live at, there's 60 private and charter schools in Pasadena that the public schools have to compete with. So if your kid, and you're one of the taxpayers, you know, the big taxpayers, your kid is not going to public schools, you don't care if money's not going to there. You'll vote for this, that, or whatever. And the chopping block seems to always hit public education, my opinion.
I hear what we're saying, and I still feel like we're passing the buck. And I know we talked about this briefly the last time, maybe time before, about homeschooling.
Okay.
Some things we pass to a public arena that we need to take ownership of ourselves.
Okay.
It's still free to go to the library. And I know this seems simplified, but if what you practice all the time, I'm going to give an illustration of a young man who becomes a superstar in basketball. What do you see him carrying all the time, everywhere he goes? He has his basketball. He's bouncing it. He sleeps with it. He eats with it. He becomes that basketball superstar. If we put the value back in education that once used to be there back in the day, there was a time when minorities, we were not allowed to read books.
That was against the law. It was against the law to teach us.
It's so far out of our minds that the liberties and the things that our civil rights have brought to our attention and giving us opportunity to vote, to go to the bookstore, to sit in a restaurant, that we just, like, it's okay now and we arrived and that's it. I think what you fight for, you still have to maintain. And when something becomes free, we become lazy.
Yeah. Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, then a lot of people will say, well, everything's okay. We've got a black president, and, you know, there's no racism, there's no this, there's no that. But going back on what you said about homeschooling, there's, you know, we might have to just come back in and take control of our kids' education.
Didn't we used to have to sneak to have a book?
Yeah.
People, men and women were beat.
Lynched. Yeah.
You know, so let's put the pride back into self-development, even reading our word. And 'cause God, he has an answer. The word of God teaches us many things. And I think that was our central guidance We look to God to do a lot of things, but now we're all that in a bag of chips.
Don't need him no more.
We don't need him anymore. We're microwave. We're social media. Everything is quick and instant. But my main point is that if we take personal responsibility for our education, we don't have to look to the public to give us anything. We need the ownership needs to be ours. Are we not the head and not the tail? Are we not the lender and not the borrower? Then we need to take the responsibility.
Good point. Good point. Yeah, very good point. Mr. Sargent, would you like to come in on that?
I'd definitely like to piggyback off of that. I from the very beginning of us telling us to empower ourselves and do better in life, I think that we've been taught from a certain age, from the very beginning, and that we've been taught has been a mirage from the very beginning. So it's kind of hard for me to sit here and not really comment on the things that I've learned inside my life. And by the way, I'm 50 years old. I just turned 50 on April 13th. Thank you, brother. So for me to sit here and really debate back and forth, and not even a debate, but listen to the things that I'm hearing in regards to, you know, our people, well, let me let you understand this. It's a design plan to keep us down. Anybody that's out there listening, don't feel bad how old you are. Do not feel bad if you've never had success inside of life. Let me explain something to you. It's the powers that be that keep you down. And when I say the powers that be, I mean somebody that owns all the wealth in this land. This is not a country. This is simply a corporation. And everybody listening out there, you a corporation too. If you don't believe me, check your driver's license in all capital letters. That means you're an artificial fiction, an entity that's allowed to operate inside of commerce. All right, when you go to school, they simply tell you to go to school. Get a good education so you can get a what? A good job. Did you know the workforce was created by something called statutes at large? That's right. They created the workforce to keep you busy, keep you tied up, so you really can't really find out exactly what's really going on. And what's really going on is a simple plot to steal every single dime of your wealth all of your life until you retire. And then they're stealing your wealth again. You're worth more rich than you are dead. Excuse me, alive than you are dead. So believe me, all the stuff that you hear right now is simply a farce. Go out there, like they said before, educate yourself, but find out what to educate yourself on what subject.
Very deep, very heavy on that. Very deep. You like to go back on that?
I agree with what the doctor said.
Uh-huh.
As far as teaching your family and your children, your grandchildren, the values at home. But nowadays, you can look back in the old days, and it was easier to teach your kids. But nowadays, you have younger parents,
right,
and they're leaving the responsibility up to the teachers. And
right,
like you said, the guiding counselor.
Right.
So it's hard right nowadays because everybody's chasing money. Everybody wants the wealth, and they want it quick. So it's hard to teach at home if you're a young parent because they don't know.
Right.
They don't know where to go. So that's what we have to put out there where we can have, like we're having tonight, where people can go and teach their kids. Because a lot of adults, they don't even know.
Right.
They don't have any idea on how to start to teach their children where to go, what subjects to take in school. They have no idea. So we have to start not just with the kids. We have to teach adults as well.
Yeah, because, you know, we have a lost generation of parents right now. A lot of the students that I work with are being raised by grandparents. And grandparents, by this time, they didn't put in their work. They didn't put in their dues. You know, then if it is with a single parent or whatever, like you said, they're at work or going to school, and video games and TV is starting to raise our children also. You know, that's another thing that we need to deal with, you know. Latchkey kids. You want to talk about latchkey kids?
Well, I think one of the advantages of, and I learned this because I was a homeschool mom for a short while. Unfortunately, like I have mentioned before, we started a little late. I wish I had started when mine were younger. But that's an advantage of entrepreneurs who are entrepreneurs to homeschool their kids because they are involved in their kids' lives. And there are some things that we have taken for granted that are a part of education, some things like cooking and sewing, automotive, learning how to do the lawn. Everything is a part of homeschool, and it can turn into curriculum. Yes, you have to get the ABCs, the 1, 2, 3s, and all that stuff, and the math and all that, and the science and all those things, but there are associations. It's a huge organization out there for homeschool. And I don't want to knock our public school teachers either. There are some teachers, I believe, I've met them, they love what they do. They're still good teachers out there.
Right.
And they have challenges too, because some of the politics is affecting them, making them more administrators than teachers, pushing all these policies, and so they can't teach maybe the way they used to be able to teach. But being a parent advocate, that's one of the reasons I pulled my kids out, because they were not getting the attention. And maybe I put too much trust. Maybe I gave my authority away.
You did, yeah.
You know, I gave it away to someone else. I used to be one of those parents, oh, it's summer school? It's summertime? Oh, they're going to be home all day? I used to catch myself
right.
You know, because we kind of got used to them being away at a certain time of day. For me, it's because I was an entrepreneur and have been for a long time. However, you can marry those things together. I've gone to many establishments where the husband, the wife, the children, they're all working the business.
Right. Exactly.
And then they can learn some practical things so that they have a skill when they grow up.
All right, doctor. You're right about that. Marcia D, do you have anything you'd like to say about that?
Well, I want to go back to what Dr. Kathy said about reading. How important reading was to me growing up as a child. We didn't have all the social networking. I think that's just destroying a lot of our kids. You know, if there's nobody interacts as a family anymore. When you go out to dinner, everybody has their phone, and they're all looking at Facebook, or they're all doing all these Instagrams or anything. You know, we need to turn off our phones sometimes and just communicate with each other one-on-one. Reading has a lot to do, I think, with communication. That's kind of communicating with yourself. You know, you are reading and you are absorbing this book and the ideas in the book, and it kind of lets your mind grow. And I don't see kids reading anymore. When you said that, I went like, wow. I remember going to the library, joining the summer reading club at the library. And at the end of the summer, I would get like a certificate, and that was a big thing to me. But I don't know, even with my own kids, I have two young adults, 19 and 20, and I don't know when the last time was they ever opened a book. And I'm like thinking back to myself, like kicking myself, saying, why didn't I take an active part in making sure that they were really growing, with themselves in that way. That's something that I'm really going to pay attention to, you know. So.
All right. Thank you for that. You know, you're listening to Words of Wisdom on Blog Talk Radio. Now, I'd like to go back to something Dr. Kathy was saying about the different subjects that could be taught to your kids, like sewing and other things like that, because back in the day, I used to go to Horace Mann Junior High School in Los Angeles, and we had gardening shop, wood shop, metal shop, ceramics. And when I got to high school, we had automotive shop. I mean, those are trades, things that you can learn and get out there and get a job with. But where are they today? They're gone. You know, you ask some boys don't even know how to change a tire on a car. We used to change starters, pull out transmissions. We knew how to do all of that stuff, you know? And I got AAA now, you know? I'm guilty now, but I'm too old to get up under that car now, too. But the fact of the matter is that there were things that you could go out, there were subjects that you could go out and learn about and get a job. Now, we had a gardening class. We grew beets. I didn't know what beets were. But that was our first project, was to grow beets. You know? I see that you were ready to say something.
Well, I think that some things that we're running into that are issues like diet
Okay.
If we knew how to plant vegetables and get more involved, it's something about touching the earth,
mm-hmm.
touching the dirt, kind of understanding that the senses when you're dealing with the different elements, you're outside. You're not stressed out anymore. You don't have to take Prozac or whatever they give you for being stressed out. You know, you get to breathe.
You've been talking to my doctor. Yeah.
I think that because we've become so commercialized in some things. Now, I'm an advocate of technology because that's what my business does.
Okay.
I believe that it's leveled the playing field for entrepreneurs and Fortune 500 companies. And everything can be taken out of sync. You know, we need to keep some things into perspective. And I saw something on television that I loved. It was a timed thing. This young kid, he was about 5, he had an iPad, but the technology, his mom could time it. He was only on for an hour, and when it got to that point where the hour was up, it shut off.
Mm.
And the next thing, they showed him outside playing kickball with his sister.
Yeah,
so we need, right, exactly. So I think it's about control. It's about having strategy and planning. Let's don't throw the baby out with the bath. Let's organize it, strategize it, and put it in its proper place, because too much of anything is not good for you.
Right. You're right. Because you know what I noticed on Christmas morning back, like I always say, back in the day, on Christmas morning, there was always kids riding bikes down the street. Do you see that anymore on Christmas? I don't know. Nobody's out there riding bikes like they used to. And then getting back to learning how to plant. Now, in an agrarian state, and like Native Americans, people from different parts of Africa, people grew their food, you know. And when people grow their food, there's less chances of you getting cancer and other diseases. When you get that processed food in you, that's all part of that genocide plan, I believe, also. You know, go ahead.
When's the last time you had a fresh tomato from your own backyard?
I haven't had a fresh.
When's the last time you had a lemon pulled off your tree?
Yeah.
Now, we happen to have tomatoes. We have lemons. You know, and I was at a friend's house the other day. She had beets, and she had greens and different things like that. And, it, you know, you even get into science, because when you have that kind of thing going on in your backyard, you get into the bumblebees come. You're like,
right.
Where'd they go?
Right.
Well, there's nothing for them to do the populate this tree and that tree.
It's like butterflies. Where
right.
are they?
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Okay. Mr. Butler, would you like to come in on that?
No, not on that.
Okay. Got another? Okay, let's move on then. Let's move to how do you feel about entitlement cutting? Does this plan say goodbye to entitlements? How will this affect your community? Entitlements. Number 3. Okay, let me see that one. Number 3, International Monetary Fund, the IMF, called on the USA to develop a credible plan to deal with its spending debts over the next several years. Okay. All right. And then, how do you feel about entitlement cuts, and how does this plan say goodbye to entitlements? How does this affect your community? So, would you like to go on that?
On question number 3, International Monetary Fund?
Yeah.
I don't know if people even know who the International Monetary Fund is. Just to comment on that, International Monetary Fund is a system that was set up long, long time ago. They rule all the wealth, like 97% of all the wealth in the land, tied to the Queen of England as well as the Vatican. International Monetary Fund is basically the wealth of the people inside the land, especially in America. Everybody has a Social Security card, you know, mixed with a birth certificate. The second you're born in the United States of America, you actually, your body and your carcass is already pledged to the U.S. government as a surety to pay the debt to England.
Mm.
So in regards to us having freedom, they took your rights away when they, you know, actually filed the Emergency Banking Act of 1933, along with the abrogation of the Gold Clause, something called HJR 192, House Joint Resolution. Everybody that you know and everybody that you see still under slavery. Still under slavery. So International Monetary Fund controls all of our birth certificates here in the United States of America. They take out $1 million bond when you're born. That $1 million bond is growing in interest every single day, all of your life. That's the reason why you're worth more dead than you are alive. So just go out there and check out who the International Monetary Fund is. Everything that we have, when you go out to buy things inside the land, it is on the full faith and credit of the American people. That means the United States of America borrows from us. It is not the other way around.
Heavy, heavy, heavy. Anybody else like to say something about that?
I think a point that the gentleman just made was very enlightened. And it would be probably unfair for me to suggest that the International Monetary Fund believe that there are too many people eating on the planet. And they would probably just as soon see less people.
Yeah.
But if we were to follow the logic and their advice, because certainly Europe has done so, but as a result of that trickle-down recommendation that they're making, notice they focus upon debt and spending. They make no mention of revenue whatsoever, debt and spending. And we have a certain group of people in our legislature, in Congress, whose only focus is on debt and spending. That's consistent with the claims of the International Monetary Fund. But if you look at its effect in Europe, look at France, who's now undergoing a double-dip recession. The U.S. is pulling out of its and would have gone faster had there been a stronger stimulus. But they have fallen back not only into another recession, but a double-dip recession in most of Europe as a result of this strategy of austerity. What should happen is prime the pump. What happened in 1929, following 1929 and 30, the government did not create jobs, but it primed the pump. When it primed the pump, then the private sector spending occurred. And when spending occurred, people paid income taxes on that spending. And you came closer toward full employment. But that's not in the interest of certain people because the value of the wealth that they have diminishes
Yes.
when more people have portions of it. Now, how does that affect entitlement, entitlement cuts? Well, first of all, America has been forced to think of entitlements as a dirty word. We associate the term with welfare.
Yes.
We associate the term with a government handout. But entitlements means just that, entitlement. Means you are entitled to it. That is not a government handout. It is not welfare. It is something you have invested, Social Security you paid. Government must keep its promise. Medicare you pay comes out of your check, and when it's time for you to use it, you mean to tell me the government is going to go back on its word and cut it? Well, that wouldn't be the kind of government I'd like to be a part of. So that shouldn't even be a consideration. It ought not be on the table. Instead, revenue ought to be on the table. But that wouldn't go in. That would not coincide with the International Monetary Fund's agenda.
All right, all right. We have learned a little something there tonight. Would you like to talk a little bit more about that?
I would just like to touch bases and piggyback on what he said. When he talks about entitlements, we are all entitled because we were made sureties in this land in 1933. Like I said, the reason why we're all entitled is because everything inside the United States of America is already paid for through a contract heretofore and hereafter, actually signed by the Emergency Banking Act in 1933. If you would go and do your research, you would notice that every 70 years we have a crisis, and that is a reason for that, okay, that we have a crisis every 70 years. The last crisis is the real estate bubble. That's where I find out the information that every single loan in the United States of America is a straight fraud, simply because they never loan you anything. Anybody out there, if you ever got money or loaned money, go see how much money you ever got loaned. Money has never exchanged hands. It's simply paper. That's what it is. It is simply paper. So what they do is they have us bamboozled in regards to what we understand and what we don't understand. And I like to piggyback off of what the, you know, the lady said before in regards to us reading and teaching our children how to read. It is simply ironic that none of us really do read because we're in something called a contractual society. We're all in the contractual agreements, whether it be your driver's license, whether it be you being a contractor, whether it be you doing any type of business, you have to go through something called a license. We all have to have licenses. That's the reason why you have a license to drive. Remember, under the Constitution, you can travel by any means necessary, boat, plane, train, car, but they took your rights away and replaced those rights with privileges. So please, everybody out there, go educate yourself.
Thank you very much. You know, like they tell you when back that when you go get your driver's license, it's not a right, it's a privilege. You know, it's not a right to live, it's a privilege. It's not a right to eat, it's a privilege. It's not a right to have housing, it's a privilege. Everything is a privilege these days. Now, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Your name and where you come living?
Oh, my name is Melissa, and I live in Ontario.
Were you here once before, Melissa?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember you. Yeah, okay. Would you like to say anything to the people out there in Radio Land today?
It's a beautiful evening.
Beautiful evening. Listen up and, listen up and maybe join in on us. And, hello?
Hi.
Your name?
I'm Laura.
And you're from?
Actually, I'm from Boston.
From Boston?
Originally.
Okay, all right. But you settled here?
I don't really have anything to say, but I'm very grateful for the comments.
Okay, well, we're going to get around. We're going to finish up some more. And anytime you want to jump in there, feel free to say anything you like. Let me get back to Mr. Jim here. Jim, Mr. Butler, what do you think about entitlements? Because we were saying you're entitled to that. That's not no giveaway.
It's not a giveaway, but I'm saying this. If you earn, the black community earn $1.3 trillion a year, then why are we so dependent upon entitlements? And you know that they are going to cut them, then where does that leave us? And let me throw welfare in there, too. $1.3 trillion, that implies that we got money. We are not spending it wisely. And entitlements are going to go away whether we want them or not. You know, they're gone. Then what do? Then all of a sudden we don't have the spending power and we're broke. Then what? Then we create a depression in ourselves and in our own community.
Okay, now when we put money into Social Security and we put money into your retirement funds and Medicare and they want to take that away, I mean, that sounds like to me time to stand up and revolt, revolution, because they're taking something from you that's yours, not the government's.
Well, you must remember that they were spending money in the Vietnam War. They were taking money from Social Security. We allowed them to do this.
Yeah.
So therefore, we allowed the Social Security system to be broke, and it should be that way, but it's not. You remember what Machiavelli said? Never take things for what they should be rather than for what they are.
Right. You heard that. Okay, I'm coming back over here to Mr. Sargent.
There's a reason why we have a problem with spending. That's because money is disposable. Right? Everybody inside this land who actually gets a paycheck, do they actually put their money into something of value? No, they don't. We go out and we buy shiny things all the time, a brand new car, you know, more furniture in your house, you know, the latest technology, the latest gadget. So we've been taught from birth, like I told you. We've been brainwashed from birth. We don't ever take our money and place it in something of value. When athletes get together and they make these hundreds and million-dollar contracts, do they ever get together amongst themselves and buy buildings, planes, and houses, okay, and go back to the ghetto and put the money inside the ghetto and teach other people how to do the same exact thing? No, we don't. We tend to our own self. We become selfish because we think, we've made it. Well, let me educate you. There is no such thing as I've made it. All your life, you're going to be doing the same exact thing. That's the reason why you will see people on 30-30 ESPN special showing athletes who have played 20 years inside the league and end up broke. That's because money is simply disposable. Like I said before, there is no such thing as money. They have bamboozled you. See, money is just a medium of exchange is all it is. If I give Mr. Butler, if he gives me a cup of coffee, the exchange would be a dollar bill or $5 bill. That is the exchange. It used to be an old bartering and trading system. If I did something for Mr. Butler, I'd have my wife fix him some pies. That's the old bartering and trading system. That is gone from America. Why? Because they abrogated the gold clause in 1933 and made you turn in your gold lawfully. It was against the law for you to have gold. So they replaced it with what? Something called a Federal Reserve Note. Okay? It's north 9 cents is what it is, the ink and the paper. That's all it is. But they made you think it was worth something, so that becomes the new medium of exchange. That's the reason why you will see people inside this country who work all their lives and still end up broke because of that medium of exchange. Take that medium of exchange and place it into something of value. That's the difference.
Why do you think that all of a sudden all of these places are popping up, gold guys, so-and-so, everybody, they're trying to buy all this gold back now. Do you see anything behind that?
Yes, I do, because all the gold has been displaced out of Fort Knox since the 30s. It took them 20 years, get this, from 1913 of passing of the Federal Reserve Act by Woodrow Wilson to 1933 and the Emergency Banking Act to bankrupt this nation. Okay? United States of America is bankrupt. That's what it is. That's the reason why they borrow from the people. When you go buy a house, a car, credit card, what does it say on there? Full faith and credit. What you didn't understand was you borrowed credit from yourself. Right? It ain't them. They don't have no money. They've been bankrupt since 1933. And they made you take this Federal Reserve note and use it as a medium exchange to all merchants across the land. That's the camouflage. Like I said, it's a mirage. It's simply a mirage where you think you have something. If you think you have something and you own a house, go read the first paragraph. It'll call you a tenant. You are not an owner. Read and educate yourself and check it out for yourself.
Whoa, okay. That's very deep right there, you know, and that's true. You know, I don't understand. I remember my mother bought her first house for $14,000, Pomona, but it took her 30 years to pay that $14,000. She paid for that house 10, 20 times, you know, $14,000, you know, 30 years. They missed a couple of payments and they want it back. You know, that doesn't make sense to me. You know, wow. And, you know, like you said, that gold, they want that gold back right now. Do you think that they might be going to a universal or like a universal monetary system or, you know, something? Yeah, I think so.
Well, I just want to add, I've heard the old folks say, avoid straining after a gnat and swallowing a camel. We have so focused upon the debt and spending and considered what we call a crisis. Keep in mind, the whole reason that governments form is for a purpose. In our case, to provide for the common defense, to promote the general welfare, et cetera, it costs money to do that, and it requires fair participation. Andrew Young, former UN ambassador, made a comment about 6 weeks ago. I noticed it on MSNBC. I noticed the comment was not picked up by any major news organization. The comment was, why don't we call in the $18 trillion in revenue being held in other countries by American corporations that was untaxed?
Oh.
Why don't we have them pay taxes on that $18 trillion? Then we won't have a budget crisis.
That's right. And
$18 trillion untaxed, held by American corporations and rich people in foreign countries that they earned here off American consumers.
Right, right. Yeah.
No tax paid.
I remember reading in Donald Trump's book. I didn't finish reading it, but the one part in there that really intrigued me is when he was saying that 44%, and it's probably higher now because his book is older, the one that says, I want you to be rich, he said 44% of our debt is owned by third world countries. So we're borrowing, we borrow money from other countries to keep us afloat.
China,
Japan. I mean, we could probably just go on and on and on, but that was interesting to me that, you know, I took, you know, math in school. 44%, that's a lot.
Yeah.
in a country that used to be number one. Why is that? Who wants to explain that one?
Yeah. You know, and I'm speaking of, you know, I'm watching the news, and a building in India collapsed that was making clothing for, yeah, making clothing for American countries, companies, Walmart. And they said the amount of money that people made was a minimum wage of $23 a month. And so then they make those clothing, and they send them over here, and we pay top dollar for them. You know, it's another rip off. How you doing this evening?
Peace and love to you,
bro. All right, brother.
Yeah.
Once again, your name?
Ufahamu.
Okay. Glad to see you as usual. That's all right. You here. Yes, you definitely can, Mr. Butler.
Yeah, you know that the Cayman Islands is the home to America's billionaires. Well, Cyprus is the home to the Russian billionaires.
Right.
As you know, the Russian was a little upset when they forced the bank's closure, you know, in Cyprus, because they lost 60 to 70% of their, you know, income.
Right.
These are billions. So Putin says this. Putin tells Germany was the one who forced, you know, Cyprus to do this. So Putin told the Germans that you might as well, he told Cyprus that you might as well raise, you know, the German flag.
Right.
Well, just this week, George Soros' partner told Glenn Beck the collapse that is coming. And he told him, you might as well sell your asset and go buy a farm. The economic collapse is for sure. I mean, in fact, this brother is already here.
All right, thank you. Anybody like to piggyback on? Hi, how you doing?
Hello, how are you?
All right, your name?
I'm Trudy Coleman.
Trudy Coleman from this area?
Yes.
All right. Glad to have you aboard this evening. Listen in, and anytime you want to chime into what we have to say, you're more than welcome. Anybody else here? Let me look at the next questions here. Okay. Privacy and drone and privacy. USA law enforcement is greatly expanding the use of domestic drones for surveillance. Big brother's watching you, huh? Routine aerial surveillance would profoundly change the character of public life in America. You know, not even just drones. You know, everywhere you go, there's a camera. You know, those guys that bombed Boston, they was on camera all over the place. You know, you stop and think, you know, when they say Big Brother's watching you, he is watching you. Every move that you make, there's cameras. They might be watching us now. You know, you never know, you know. It's a fact. I know they're watching you, man. That's what I'm saying. Hey, they got a file on you, brother. And this one who's got his head down right there. Yeah, incognito hiding back. But it's true. Now, you know, they're talking about the drones. Who would think that it's a good idea or a bad idea to have drones? Because, like, they say they can use them for commercial use. There's all kinds of excuses. And when it hit the news, when it hit Fox News, of course it was all Obama's fault. And, you know, it's neither here nor there, but what do you think about us being watched, spied on? You know, you look at your flat screen TV. Some people say that flat screen TV is looking at you. Never know. You on these cell phones, you never know.
Okay, go right ahead. This is Trudy, and I have actually a collection of videos of drones flying over my house.
Interesting.
And there is chemical in those drones that affect our health, particularly people that have asthma and respiratory problems. And I think it's really a shame that these drones are going around on beautiful, cloudy, sunny days. And when they get through, the wind comes up, the clouds come up, the sun goes away, and they are literally controlling weather with these things.
Ah.
So then I understand that weather's even on the stock market. So when they say live droppers, 7 has predicted your weather for some days. Well, they already know what they're going to do to help make that weather change.
Whoa, you know, I never even thought of that. That's just pretty deep, pretty deep. Anybody want to come in on that?
I've never seen a drone.
Never?
No, I don't. What would it look like?
You see the big white clouds, straight clouds on the side with the little plane in front of it that you usually can't see the plane, but you see a long streak going. God do not make straight clouds. These are clouds that they make with these drones.
How high do they fly?
Oh, they fly very high.
Very high.
Very high. And you might see them crisscrossing, making zigzags and all kind of things. They're unmanned drones.
Oh, okay.
Somebody sitting in a building somewhere manning these drones and putting this chemical in the sky all over us, respect of our plants, our health, everything.
I've heard about them. I've never seen one, so.
A lot of people don't look up because they're so busy looking down at those
that's
cell phones.
That's true.
I look up the sky every day.
And, you know, you made a very perfect point. They're so high, you wouldn't know if it was what it was, what type of plane it was. But, you know, so many things that are going on are right around us that we don't even take time to even look at, you know. Very good, Trudy. Come in on any camera here?
Yes. When you say drones, I believe you're referring to this technology that they're using over in other countries to attack so-called terrorists, right? The tragedy is that, okay, we want to be safe in the United States as United States citizens, and we want to be the beacon of light around the world, but it hurt me, this tragedy in Boston, the Boston Marathon, because of the violence, see? But we're killing people around the world with drones, causing death and destruction to a lot of people around the world. So when we look up and we see what happened in Boston, that's, as Malcolm X said, the chicken's coming home to roost. We shouldn't be doing it around the world, because I know it was painful to me to see that happen in our country. But how do we think other people feel in their countries where we're sending a lot of drones and killing a lot of innocent women, women and children and others are getting killed with these drones? And it's really frightening. I'll say that.
I think that's where we got the term the ugly American, you know, because like you said, we've done a lot around this world, and a little something happened here, and we, you know, we're ready to go off. I like talking to this brother right here.
The drones are just another design plan to keep us under control. You have to understand that, you know, national security is taking over. So they're taking every step to take the guns out of our hands and take 100% control of everything inside the land. All you have to do is read the Bible. I'm a young minister. That means that I preached the word when I was like 12 and 13 and not actually run away from it for years and years and years. I asked God to show me things. It's funny when you ask for something and he shows you with clear eyes exactly what's going on. I tell you this now, that everything that you ever hear and everything that you ever see inside this land is a simple mark from the Bible. Revelations is actually playing itself out right now. So in regards to these drones, they're taking control of our lives. Everything that you've ever done, they're taking all your freedom away. You think that you're under privileges right now, it's going to even be worse.
You know, and I hear that that everything that's talked about in Revelations is coming to pass. You know, the tornadoes and tsunamis and the wars and all the other things that are happening right now. Do you think that is true?
I believe in Revelation being fulfilled.
Okay.
And 6 tornadoes in Texas on one day.
Wow.
I believe that's just evidence of it.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
I wanted to, well, I don't know. Did you talk about the internet being taken over by the government.
No, but let's hit it.
This is a subject that has come up. Right now, the internet is a free space, so to speak,
right.
People all over the world can use it to their discretion, but the government is complaining about them not being able to tax all these, because I've bought a lot of merchandise on the internet
and didn't have
to pay no taxes.
Right.
So that was like right on my
head. Right.
And they're saying, like, well, you know, we can't have this because it's too much money, being too many transactions occurring. The government's not getting a cut. So, but once they get the taxes on the internet, slowly but surely, they want to take over it so they can control it. So, I believe that move is going on real strong right now, in place. And it's one of the things that we do have some liberty and freedom with. And, I think maybe it's just too good to be true. So,
well, you know what? You hit that right, because right now we're using the internet and we're speaking our minds.
Yeah.
Now, broadcast radio is governed by the FCC, Federal Communications Commission,
yeah.
And they censor. You know, they have no way right now of censoring what I say, what you say, and what we spread around the world.
Yeah.
You know, they want to be able to control that.
Yeah.
You know, and I bet they're tapped into every little thing they can find out, because there's a lot of stuff that is going on over the internet that is positive. There's a lot of negative, but they can't control this. You know.
The brother was speaking about Revelation and Scripture being fulfilled. Let me finish that little conversation between George Soros's partner and Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
Well, Glenn Beck asked him, said, "Well, you know, this collapse is coming. So what should we, what can we do? Will gold do any good? No. Well, what about silver? No." And then again, he told Glenn Beck, "Go and sell your assets and buy you a farm and start growing food."
Yeah. Glenn Beck. Anybody else want to move in on anything?
Sure. Well, I have a concern about when you talk about the farm, and the issue is we do need to have our own space back to 40 acres in a mule. We need to have our own, be able to grow our own vegetables and everything. But we have an issue here. We have Monsanto. We have GMOs. We're not able to just go get a seed and plant it that's not been tampered with GMOs. You know, God said to roll it to the land each year, you know, to regrow the crops. But now what they're doing is they're putting crop behind crop, not roll-tilling anything. They're just yanking out one crop, putting another crop in with these GMO seeds. And that's why people are sick, why we don't have the immune system built up like we used to. Sugar is not even as sweet as it used to be because they're tampering even with the sugar. And I think anybody that can grow organic, find organic seeds, go organic.
What do you mean by GMOs?
Genetically modified organisms.
Could you explain that to the people out there who might not understand that?
Well, Monsanto is the organization who is over genetically making, quote-unquote, it's supposed to be a fruit, but it's a man-made fruit spliced with something else to modify it. It's like fast growth and things like that. The food doesn't have the same nutrients in it anymore. So therefore, and then the high fructose corn syrup has been replaced by natural cane sugar in most products because it's cheaper for the manufacturers to make those things with that. But it also turns your brain sectors off to say, I've had enough, and that's why I have to say Big M's been able to supersize food, because high fructose corn syrup is in everything, and you're like, how are people going to eat bigger food? And well, give them the chemical. They'll don't know they're full. They just keep eating. You know, so fat is not coming because our kids are just glutting and eating food. It's because of what's in our foods now and the nutrients that they're not getting. So as our first lady talks about grow your garden, she needs to talk about also get rid of this high fructose corn syrup. You know, get this GMO stuff. You know, it's not healthy for us. Our parents didn't grow up on this stuff. You know, they were much better shaped than us. Most people in my family live to be in their 80s, 90s, and 100s. You know, but these young people, I've married so many of my room classmates, 50s and their 30s, and just not, people are just not even made out the same material anymore, because since the 90s, we're not getting the same stuff anymore for our health.
And, you know, and I've noticed that a lot of our high school kids since McDonald's really started, took off, you've got middle school kids, high school kids coming up with diabetes. They're coming up with high blood pressure. All these things that you don't expect to get until you're my age, you know. But the kids are getting these things now, you know. And yeah, that's what, say it again. Stay away from it.
Stay away from it.
You heard that. Let me come over to Kathy because she was talking about Dr. Green Thumb. Get what you're talking about.
Well, I wanted to just bring up the fact you talked about McDonald's, and we were talking about business and being educated. McDonald's, their camouflage is they're telling you that their business is hamburgers. Their business is not hamburgers. It is not about fast food. They're really in the real estate business, and they use fast food and selling food as their camouflage. When they build a McDonald's, they landscape to buy the whole facility, and then they will sell out or sell or lease other spaces for other businesses. So maybe their priority, I want to say maybe, this is all speculation, of course, they're not focusing on the nutrition. They're focusing on the money, as we were saying. Young man said over there, the medium of exchange, how they can gain power, how they can have more land and real estate. It's all strategy. It's not about the food. We keep thinking it's about the food, but that particular establishment, they do things to satisfy the media for a while, you know, like fruits and vegetables,
right,
or sliced apples,
right,
or raisins. You know, the combination of food, no kid want to eat that anyway. It's all geared toward kids. They don't have food that adults like to eat. How many adults in this room here today go to McDonald's to eat? Oh, see?
I see no hands.
There are no hands here. So it's advertising, and I hate to bash my industry, but the media and advertising, and as you, well, we opened up our session today talking about minorities being consumers. We are. They ask you, what's your zip code? How often you shop here? They know what you like. You tell them how to service you. So we need to be aware, read more, as we were saying already. So McDonald's, believe it or not, is not in the fast food business. It's a trick.
Well, you know, they were like the first ones to come up with that dollar menu.
Yes.
What's in that dollar menu? You know, how much is going to cost you to go to the hospital and get whatever's out of you out of that dollar menu?
I'd like to reflect on, she was talking about genetically modified foods. There was a movie that came out a few years ago about a creature called Frankenstein. And this Frankenstein, he used to be really popular years ago, but the whole idea was that they wanted to make a man or control life. And so you have now this whole idea of cloning, you see, and they want to manipulate DNA, you see. And this is a serious, it makes me think about this whole Dr. Frankenstein and going in and, you know, they've had that sperm I can't think of the name, it just escaped me, but the cells,
stem cells.
Yeah, I'm sorry, stem cells, not sperm cells, but stem cells, DNA, we're talking about DNA.
Yeah, okay, let's keep it clean.
Stem cell controversy a few years ago, and they have tried to clone some animals.
And
you
they
see?
Did
yeah, them. Yeah, you see, and so, but, and so, we know that people are in their laboratories right now cooking it up.
And having a government grant to do it.
Splicing genes.
Okay.
splicing gene.
Now, they're saying that, well, you know, with the stem cell research, we can save lives. If you have cancer, we can remove what the cancers and do. They're trying to make it sound positive so that people will go for it. And do you believe the stem cell research or stem cells will be helpful to in the future? Or do you think it is just another one of the government's tricks? Anybody want to?
Well, for a fact, as much illness that occurs by people not eating right and living right, they need to have a lot of medical and health-related procedures and knowledge and what have you. So the stem cells in and of themselves can be a great saving for mankind, helping, you know, health way. But will the military industrial complex use it properly? And this is where the problem is. Do they put money first ahead of helping people, that this type of thing? And so I know for a fact that this Dr. Frankenstein is not over yet, you know.
You know what? You're right. I took a class at Mount SAC years ago, Science Fiction and Fantasy. And they said that everything that was back in science fiction is going to be true one day. And things that Mary Shelley's Frankenstein,
all right.
There it is right there. You know, they had people flying around on jetpacks. They're doing it today. You know, cell phone, Spock and them had these communicators. Think about science fiction, you know.
Yeah, when I was a little boy, I used to watch the Jetsons. So they had everything. It just tells you how far advanced that the government, so-called government, is, you know, ahead of us. I think everything that they do is simply about, you know, transferring wealth from the common people back to them. I think everything that's ever done inside this land is 100% evil. And I say that with passion because of the fact that, like I said, I preached when I was young. I didn't really see it then. I do see it now because of the fact that it's the ultimate fight, and the fight that we really can't win, that's the reason why people have faith in God.
Very good. Very good. Would you like to join in on this?
Not right now.
Not right this moment. How about you?
I just want to say I agree with the cloning, and it is going on right now. Just like when we first discovered of AIDS or HIV, it's out there, but is the government going to help the people that really need it? What are they using it for? For their own use or what? It's here, but are they going to give it to the public?
You know, and like they say, some people think that HIV, AIDS, is a genetically made, man-made disease anyway. There's a cure somewhere, you know, and those that have the money, be able to get a cure for it. And I'm not, you know, Magic Johnson came out with it years ago. He seems to be healthier today than he was back then. Now, they were talking about, what's the actress the other day that had the double? Yeah, now the test that she took to find that out about the DNA in her system, nobody here can afford that test, you know. So, I mean, it's just, yeah. Oh, I know you got something to say on that one. Your name? Keep it quiet.
This is Marcia.
Marcia, go ahead.
No, I mean, that is something that breast cancer runs in my mother's family. All my mother's sisters had breast cancer. My mother didn't. And,
Speak up.
Okay, sorry. Breast cancer runs in my family, on my mother's side. All her sisters had breast cancer. There is a gene that they did find out that you can develop breast cancer. There's a certain breast cancer that you can get that you will definitely, your daughters will definitely get breast cancer. And the reason I know this is because one of my mom's sisters who passed away from it at the age of 44 had the gene. Well, her daughter, my cousin, had breast found out she had breast cancer in her early 40s, and they tested her for this gene and found out that she did have that the gene that you know that you can get from mother to daughter. And so she now knows that her daughters are going to develop breast cancer. So I think that's what Angelina Jolie found out, is that she had the gene that would eventually develop into breast cancer. So, I mean, I don't think it's something that she was entitled to because she had money. If you were trying to say that maybe it was only for people that had money that would find this out, but, you know, that's something that's out there. It's a fact.
Okay, because what I was saying is she, in an interview, said that it was like $3,000, $4,000, and that, you know, the average person would not be able to afford that type of test. But, if you know, like you say...
You do have to have good insurance to have the test done. And, you know, I mean, but there's City of Hope, and there's places that will do these tests that, you know, don't cost you your life.
Now, I'm wondering if the average person that's on Medicare or Medi-Cal will be able to get that test done. You know, Medi-Cal, I work with some autistic adults, and Medi-Cal will not even do dentistry work for them anymore. Only if it's an emergency, you need a tooth pulled, you can get the tooth pulled. You know, they don't do the cleaning, they don't do the cavities and stuff anymore. I took one of my clients in the other day, needed deep root, and they wanted $200. So he put out his Medi-Cal, Medi-Medi-Card, still wouldn't take it. You know, so... It's getting rough out there. Okay, what time do we have here? 9:21. We'll be automatically off the air in 9 minutes. So here at Blog Talk Radio. Yes, you may.
I'd just like to say and stress this point to people that people keep talking about money. Let me clarify the air for you. If you were made a surety to pay the debt to England, and by the way, our national deficit, go check it out, is all the houses, mortgages, cars, planes, boats, trains in the United States of America. That's what our national deficit is. We are a surety to pay that. Why? Because what do we give up every single day? We are better than gold. Reason why is because you're a live, breathing human being, and you give off energy your whole entire life, and that's what they call labor. That's the reason why everything in this land for you is already paid for. You're just using that dollar bill as a medium of exchange. That's all you're doing. So there is no such thing as money. If you don't believe me, why do debt collectors say this is an attempt to collect a debt? That's because the debt is already paid for. You don't have a debt. The debt is United States of America's debt. Okay? Like I said, they borrow from us, the people. Go check it out. It's nothing. Think about this. Anybody that goes to a hospital, they cannot turn you down. Why? Because of the fact that you already have a contractual agreement with the United States of America, and you already have an offset account that has been growing in interest since you were born. That's the reason why there is no such thing as money. Money is gold and silver, something of value. It's paper, that ain't money.
All right. Well, before we move along, and it's getting close to time to check out here at Catch Up Not Just Coffee, Mr. Butler, would you like to say anything to the people before we go out here?
Yes, there is a revelation class on Monday night, starts at about approximately 7 o'clock. It's at the Senior Citizen Center on Baseline and Milliken. Many of you are saying that the time that we live in, revelation has been revealed. And also on Thursday nights here, there are some students that go to the Worldwide Ministry. They come here on Thursday night from about 5 until 8, and they sort of go over the material that they cover in class. You will find it very interesting. And there's a Dr. Dotson that teaches the class on Mondays. He is probably the best that I've seen teaching on Revelation. His research is tremendous, and his scholarship is just out of this world. So if you ever get a chance, stop by. And does anybody here remember, you know, the exact address, Trudy or Dr. Kathy?
Central Park in Rancho Cucamonga, and that is on Baseline in Milliken.
And what day is that on?
Every Monday, class starts between 6:30 and 7.
Okay. You guys heard that? Southeast corner? Okay. What else goes on here at Ketchup Not Just Coffee? Is it spoken word and other things that's going on here?
On Tuesdays, we have Brother Clifford. He teaches young people how to start businesses. And we're going to try to get our real estate brother right here to come out one Tuesday and lecture and help the young people and community on how to invest in real estate and things like that. And then we have Dr. Kathy's husband, James Sanders. He has tremendous knowledge in insurance. We're going to try to get him to come down also on a Tuesday night. And Thursdays, of course, you know, is a Revelation Bible, you know, study, you know, review.
Okay, before we go, your location, address, and phone number.
Phone number, let's start the first. Phone number is 909-987-9862. I repeat that, 909-987-9862. The address is 10798 Foothill Boulevard, Suite 100. That's Rancho Cucamonga, 91730. And a good landmark would be we are in the Terra Vista Shopping Center, and that's right across the parking lot from Home Goods. And if you are familiar with you know, LA Fitness, we're in the same parking lot as LA Fitness and, of course, Home Goods.
All right. I'd like to say thank you to everybody that participated tonight. And it's good to come out here and get this dialogue and get it around the world, around the country. There were some things said tonight that I know people out there never thought about. And I hope that we were educating you tonight on some things. We'll be back on the
third Saturday.
On the third Saturday of each month, we have our meeting of the minds, and we will tackle consciousness and awareness.
You heard that. So if anybody out there, come on down, Rancho Cucamonga. You got the address. If you don't, inbox me, Facebook, or whatever. You can find me. You can find Dr. Kathy. You can go to the website for Ketchup Just Not Just Coffee and look at that. So it's been fun. Franklin Donnie D got to run. I got to get back to the studio in the back and go off the air. God bless each and every one of you. It's good to see you here. Hope to see you again, my friend. God bless. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's been the show for tonight. The Ketchup Not Just Coffee. And if we move it and groove it and take you out of here, we're going to go to a song that takes me away, away, away. I'm going to sing a song called Pasadena by Gregor.
Dina, lovely.
The sounds of Fred Whale here on the radio. Love the radio. That's what we do. Pasadena. It's been a very exciting tonight. Got a little hit. We went a little over tonight. I like to thank you so much. rough day for us.
That's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.